My spouse is driving me crazy. Don't tell her. Oh, hi.
Hey.
How's it going?
Yeah. Part three, right?
Part three. This is part three. We're Gabe and Melissa Kolstad. Welcome to Marriage Monthly. And we are in a series. It's a 16-part series called My Spouse is Driving Me Crazy.
This is the last of it.
Okay, this is it. Just part three.
Yeah.
And we're going to be talking today about feeling left out.
Yeah.
You know, my spouse is driving me crazy because they're leaving me out. And by the way, nice flannel.
Thanks.
Yeah. It is September as we're filming this.
Yeah, but it's like hot outside. So I regretted that when I walked out.
I know,
the door,
but it was like raining and stuff earlier this week.
Like yesterday.
Yeah. So I felt like it was time.
I know. I'll change move it into short fall.
Whatever. Okay. Feeling left out's never been fun. It's the worst when you feel that way.
But everybody feels that way in marriage, don't you think?
I think they do, but I think it's really
like one time or another.
It's a very personal one.
Yeah.
You know, it's different. You feel left out at work. You could feel left out at school. You could feel left out from your family. But if it's your spouse,
right,
that's a really serious one, right?
Well, yeah. If you like walk in the door and they don't even say a word to you.
Yeah.
And then you just go about your life and there's like no interaction, no talking. No, yeah.
But I do think you're right. I think a lot of people feel this in their marriage. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's come up on our part three of My Spouse is Driving Me Crazy. I mean, the problem here really is it's about feeling other than, you know, it's about feeling separate. I mean, I think everybody has this romantic idea. You're standing at the altar of marriage and, you know, you're holding hands and she's wearing this beautiful dress and he's killing it with a great suit or whatever. Yeah. And you know, you're
tails
like
in the 90s,
right? Tails.
Nice. Those were sweet.
Gosh, yeah.
Those were awesome.
Of course you've got the boutonniere on.
Of course.
Up here.
Yeah. Maybe a vest.
Yeah. But you're thinking about what life is going to be like. And it is literally all rainbows and unicorns in your mind at that point. You don't think about people are going to have to go to work. You don't think about somebody's got to get groceries. Somebody else got to, you know, do some stuff around the house. You don't think about we have separate friends. You don't think about any of that stuff. You just think about the bliss that you think you're going to step into. And then reality hits and you're not always together. You're not always included in everything.
Yeah. You're grinding, life.
Yeah.
And I think you feel like your life is going to merge so effortlessly.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
It should be so easy. And in some ways it can be. Like, I don't think it was really hard for us to merge, but there was some weird stuff because we had different friends.
Yes, and we did.
Even though we were together for a long time and we knew each other's friends and stuff. But when you merge life and the day in, day out, 24/7, it's like, all right.
Yeah. Well, and we had a bit of a head start because we were dating for quite a while before we got married.
We knew each other's friends, all that stuff. Yeah.
So that might've been a head start. But I think, as newlyweds, I think this, you know, there's different phases in marriage. I think the newlywed phase can be difficult with this because you do have, you know, you've had your life going along a certain way. And, you know, especially those second marriage folks that we've helped who are maybe a little bit further along in life, they've kind of got a little more of a routine.
Yeah. It's almost
a way
worse
of doing
sometimes.
Things. Yes. It's harder, right? And so I think maybe in some ways, if you're older getting married or you've got more life experience of getting married, I do think it could be, you might feel this a little more, this feeling left out thing. Because as newlyweds, you know, you've got separate friends, you've got separate families that aren't always syncing.
What do you do in the holidays? Do we go to their family or in their family?
You've got these events that you've been part of, you know, if you're in college or whatever, there's a little more reason to feel like you're living separate lives. Then you got the child rearing years.
Yeah.
Where talk about grinding it. Your ship's passing in the night.
Yeah.
You know, sleepy all the time. If you're the kind of person who craves a real connection, those are tough years because you're not always going to get
just exhausted.
A ton of great connection time in those years.
Well, you have to be so much more intentional about it.
Yeah.
Like really intentional about it.
Yeah.
You got to lean into those grandparents or those friends to swap kids with. Like you got to really be intentional.
I was thinking you got the career development years where even I think we've dealt with this a little bit, like more business trips or travel or different opportunities that don't always sync up, you know?
Yeah.
And so sometimes, like, I've been doing something that you weren't a part of.
Right.
And I know at times that's left you feeling a little left out.
Yeah. Only when you take off on cool trips and I can't go.
Yeah.
Lame.
Sorry about Austin coming up.
So rude.
you know, it depends. And it depends on how you're wired too, because in the career development phase, if you're a driven person, you can focus a lot on that. And I happen to be, mm-hmm. you know, so it's easy for me to focus a lot on achievement or those things. And I know that I've really had to watch out for that. And just to be aware, I think, of how, you know, if there's a lot of emphasis on that, how does it make you feel? What part mm-hmm. do you have in that? You know, and so there's that. I think there's also hobbies and different things that can feel like sometimes like, hey, I'm being left out here. You know,
do you get irritated with me in October when all I do is watch baseball?
I do. I feel so left out. I mean, I don't understand what they're saying. I don't know the teams, where they're from. I don't know. I should probably.
I try to explain it to you.
I know you have so many times. I should probably just take a little time and invest in baseball education. Then I might feel less left out. Maybe. Yeah. Anyways, I think the real problem with this whole thing has to do with withdrawals and deposits, because that's essentially what every relationship thrives on, is withdrawals and deposits. I mean, actually, real good relationships thrive on deposits, more deposits yeah. than withdrawals. Because anytime, let's say I'm going to go out of town and I'm going to be gone for, let's say, 4 days, 5 days. And I've got to think about, what is that experience going to be like for you? If I'm going to be out of town and it's all business the whole time, I don't even have time to check in with you, mm-hmm. you're going to feel very disconnected by the right. time I get back.
Right. If you don't check in with me, we're going to have a problem.
Yeah. You're going to feel left out. You're going to feel like it's other than. You're going to, you know, you might have questions about what's going on, you know, and how am I doing? And you want me to know how you're yeah. doing. There's all that stuff. But I think if I was to leave and not check in, that'd be a major withdrawal, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think we got to think about how are we making more deposits than withdrawals? And I think we also have to think about which order we do that in. If we try to take a yeah. withdrawal when there hasn't been a deposit, or if we try to take a withdrawal after just taking withdrawal, mm-hmm. we're just going down into negative yeah, on our relationship.
Sucking the well dry.
Yeah, it's not good.
yeah.
And I think that's really what this is all about, is feeling left out means I feel like you've taken more from this relationship than you've given. Mm. And that is... ouch.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so true.
That's the problem. Yeah, well, this is going to help us with the solution.
Well, when we were thinking about this topic in particular, Philippians 2:2-4 came to mind. And I just want to read this because it is so good. Paul's talking here. He says, "Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, mm-hmm. loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others." Not good.
That's good.
"Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Mm. And don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too." Mm. I mean, the whole thing to me is initiative. Mm. Like, if you're taking a lot of withdrawals and you're not accessible ever because you're so busy doing you, that's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
Cause it's like, if you're busy, that's fine, but you can text me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like yeah. you can FaceTime me in the evening. You can, you know, those kind of things. It's really, to me, it's just effort.
Yeah.
Make the initiative to reach out mm-hmm. and connect. And that's a lot of times all the spouse needs.
Yeah.
It's not like I need you 24/7 sitting on the couch next to me. Cause I don't, I like that you're driven. I like that you go do things and get things done. I think it's important, especially for our family and our mm-hmm. future and stuff. But at the same time, if you never, invested back in me and right. supported me and made time for me, then yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. We were going to have problems.
Well, and at the same time, I like how you invite me to sit on the couch and watch a show, or
yeah.
invite me to go on a walk with you, or invite right. me to go to the Dollar gym. Tree with you.
or Ross, your favorite.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. But I like that you want me to be with you.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that it builds. It's like a cycle. It, yeah. it builds. It gets better if, you know, like if I say okay and yeah. I go and do an activity with you, then it gets better because, right. you know, that connection builds.
Yeah, we're hanging. Mm-hmm. Well, let me break down the scripture real quick because I just thought this was so good. So agree with each other. This means being like-minded. I read it in another version of the Bible and it said like-minded. I like that. We want to focus on our disagreements way too much because we're by nature self-centered.
Yeah.
So we need to flip it, focus on what we agree on, and then love each other. And this is talking about unconditional love. And I love this. I looked up, what is unconditional love? And it says no strings attached.
Hmm. Yeah.
I don't think most people have unconditional love. I think they're like, if you do this, I'll do that.
Yeah.
I think that's most of the time how love happens, which is
you really
got to
check yourself, even if you've been married a long time, even if you're a follower of Jesus, you really got to check yourself on that, because it is so easy to be selfish.
Well, yeah, it is. Third, work together with one mind and purpose. This means we get on the same page. And I like that. And don't be selfish. Well, that's kind of self-explanatory.
Yeah.
But be humble. Don't think you're better than your spouse. Like sometimes we always think, oh, I have the best answer. I have the best opinion. Me. And a lot of times it's like, well, come on, step back a second, you know, chill out and think of their side of things. And don't look out for your own interests. Be interested in others, especially in your spouse. And a lot of times this is a clincher for me is if Gabe is interested in something like multiplication of church planting, stuff like that. Well, to me, that's a yawner. But
yeah, what?
See,
oh my gosh.
But
I can't believe anybody would say
that. I'm still part of Multiply PDX team. I still go to the events. I still help. I still have input.
If you're from our team, I'm so sorry.
Sorry, I love you
all.
It's
not a yawn. But it's very exciting.
But Gabe loves church planting and getting more churches in Portland, particularly. That's where we're at. And just helping people know Christ here because it's kind of a dark hole sometimes. And so because of that, because I know his heart, I'm interested in it. Right? A couple years ago, Gabe started getting interested in working out in the gym. He was never interested in that before, but I'm very passionate about that. And he's been like, okay, I'll make an effort. I'll go to the gym with you once in a while. And it's been fun.
Yeah, it is.
Like, it's cool. And now it's kind of more in your routine. So it happens. So get interested in each other's stuff. I guess that's my point really here. And I thought that was good that Ephesians said that. And I was like, yeah, that's awesome. Get interested in each other. So how do you work through feeling lonely and left out? This is the bottom line, right? Gabe brought up this problem, right? Of all this, all the issue of the problems of feeling lonely and left out. But how do we work through this? Well, first of all, you need to communicate about it. We say this almost every marriage monthly. You got to have a conversation about it, right? So tell them if you feel left out. That's okay to be like, man, I feel like your face is buried in your computer. I've never said that.
No.
Just kidding.
You would have no reason to say that.
I do say that. But I feel left out when you play games for hours on end. You know, because, you know, you don't have to be too sassy about it, but that came out sassy. I feel left out when you take off for the weekend. This has never happened to us, but some people, I've had conversations where their spouse just bails for the weekend. They literally have no idea where they're at. It's like they're off drinking with their buddies or, you know, shopping, partying with their girlfriends. And it's like, are you kidding me? And you don't check in all weekend?
Yeah, that'd be a tough one. Especially, I think that it would sting the most if one person is completely having fun and the other person is doing hard things at home.
Especially if you have kids at home.
Yeah, that's
a tough one. And they're there taking care of the family and you're off having a heyday.
Yeah.
I feel left out maybe when you go to the mall too much or when you go to the bars or when you go here or there, you know. Have the conversation. I know it's not going to be great. And don't be that naggy, annoying conversation. Like, yeah, I don't like how you do this. You should be like, I feel left out. You can't really argue with that.
No, you can't. It's how you feel, right?
Yeah. So I feel left out when, and this probably goes against everything because it's like, you do this and we're not supposed to do that. And we've talked about that. Don't say you and never and stuff like that, but, and always. But if you do feel left out, you got to have that conversation, right? It's inevitable. You have to do it. But the second thing is compromise. And this is an interesting thing because either you need a compromise or they need a compromise, but there has to be a compromise happening here. So say if the thing they're doing isn't taking away from the family and they're still getting everything done, then maybe you need to just let it go and stop being controlling. Because maybe they're passionate about music or passionate about, I don't know why, but video games. Passionate about, because maybe it relaxes them and takes them into another world. And I mean, I've heard that.
Video games is now a actual sport in college that people can get a scholarship for.
I know. I heard that about the five people at Pacific that got it.
And George Fox.
Oh, is it George Fox?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know, but they may need to compromise as well. So if your spouse is spending a lot of extra time doing something without you, then maybe they need to compromise and maybe reprioritize family first.
Yeah.
But you can do this a lot of ways. I mean, I do this, like with Gabe, I'll tag along with him to stuff. I've gone on tons of business trips with him.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, hey, can I go with you to the coffee shop? Can I go do this with you? And you know, and I'll be like, do you want to come to the gym with me? Can you go to the mall with me? Can you go to Dollar Tree with me for a second? He's like, okay. But, but it's not because I'm needy. It's because I want to spend time with them. And so that's a good way to do it, because otherwise we're literally can be two ships passing the night. Right. You know, it's like, it can be like that in every way. So, so you got to think about that.
I was thinking, just back to that communication thing for a second. I was thinking it's actually, even if the communication is negative, you could look at the bright side and be like, well, at least they want to be with me, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And that's like the bright side of maybe this is a conflict right now, but the reason it's a conflict is because you're with a person that wants to be with you.
Right.
That's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
That, it can probably be annoying, but
yeah,
at the same time, you could be like, that's okay. They want to be with me. Yeah. Like that's an honor, I guess. But there does need to be some compromise that needs to happen if it's driving you crazy. Either you need to let it go and just be like, it's okay. Jump on board with them, or, you know, have the conversation with them and be like, this is a concern, because I do know of some people that have, it's a pretty big concern, the like amount of hours they're gone or the amount of hours or where they are. If they're at a club or a strip club or something, that's not like, that's a non-negotiable. Absolutely. That's like, nope, period. Yeah. Like that's not what we're doing in our home. You know, I just feel like there's some, no way you're compromising. There's no way this is going to be accepted.
Yeah,
this
sometimes
is
a boundary. Put your foot down.
Absolutely. So sometimes you're going to need to ask them to be like, you know what? This needs to stop.
And I think the same would be true sometimes with certain friends.
Yeah.
You know, if you got an unhealthy person who is influencing you.
Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta cut that off.
Yeah.
And you just gotta be like, well, my marriage is more important.
Right. Cause it could be that party friend that's dragging you down, taking you to the wrong places and like, nope. Mm-hmm. Or it could be maybe you're newlywed, married and you're like still hanging out with someone of the opposite sex. That doesn't go good for the long haul. Either you're friends together or you're not friends. Yeah. Like it's just a safety precaution. But bring me to my third thing, because we can go on forever. But the third thing is spend regular time together. And this is the reason I say that, because that's showing that you're making them a priority. That way you feel fulfilled with them and don't feel empty, needy, or lonely, right? So schedule them in. And we have said this so many times, have a regular date night. Get a quarterly getaway for the night. We live in the Pacific Northwest, so we'll go to Seattle for the night. We'll go to Bend for a couple nights. We'll go to the beach for the night, just us. And then get away yearly. Try to get away and spend some time together just to reconnect and you know, work through your relationship, talk, spend time together. It's just really important. But when you're filled up with each other, you don't feel as lonely when your spouse is doing something without you. So
that's good.
I feel like Gabe makes me a priority and really loves to spend time with me. So when he's off camping or he's off at a retreat or he's on a business trip with Unstuck or something like that, or he's doing some coaching somewhere and he's a busy guy, I'm not needy. I'm cool because he spends time with me. He deposits all the time here. So it's not like I'm lost and starving and desperate for attention from him, because we spend regular time together. And this is a big thing, I think, with loneliness. You've got to make each other a priority regularly. And that way, when there is something going on, like they are doing their hobby, playing the game or playing the guitar for hours or whatever it is that they love, you're not mad. It's okay, because they're doing something they love and they're passionate about, and it's okay. You don't have to get mad about it. So are you spending enough time together? That's the biggest question to me. If you're lonely, figure out what's making you feel that way and tell them. And then decide if you need to compromise and let it go and let them enjoy their thing, or if they need a compromise to make more time for you and the family. That's kind of how it goes for me with the solution. So any thoughts?
I like that. Well, one thought is, you know, if you're in that space where you're feeling lonely and left out and you discover it's you.
Right. Because it could be.
It could be you. I think, you know, one thing might be is like, how do you then find a hobby? How do you then, sometimes that's an issue, right? How do you then
find a
way to invest yourself in a purpose that matters?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it can be too much to expect your spouse to be your fulfillment.
It always is too much to expect them to be fulfillment for
but
you.
But I mean, I'm saying sometimes in marriage that wells up, right? And you're like, And I think we can't be a needy person. So be sensitive like that. You might get through this and go like, oh, okay, it's actually me. And then, like you said, you got to let it go. But, the flip side to this is I think sometimes when couples get married, there's this little fear, that you're going to have to lose your own personality and lose yourself and become a non-person. You know, the two become one and you're like, oh shoot, well, do I get to be me still? And I think that we can relax because, like, at least in our experience, we're still totally unique people who still have completely, you know, chocolate, vanilla tastes and everything,
we're
you know,
opposite.
Different schedules, rhythms, likes, dislikes, all that stuff. But you allow me to be me and I allow you to be you. And we merge our lives in a way where we, our tanks are filled. And, so I think it's possible. And I think once we found kind of the rhythm in that, we had to let go of a little bit of insecurity, I think, in that, both of us. But it's been really fun since we're kind of in that rhythm.
I think so too. And also I was thinking, like, just going through life together, there's seasons where your spouse is going to be more needy. Thinking through when we had little kids and I was hands-on all the time with them. And Gabe wasn't as hands-on, though he was, but he was working a lot to take care of us and provide for us. And so I was there and he would be like, let me bathe the kids tonight. Let me put the kids to bed tonight. Like, he was like, he would step in sometimes, like, especially when they were little, he'd be like, I'll get a bottle and feed the babies, which I hated that because I like nursing.
I couldn't resist. They were so stinking cute.
Oh my gosh. They were delicious. They still are. Anyways, but,
I would still feed any one of my kids with a bottle right now.
That'd be really weird. Yeah. But they're 24, 22 and 19. That would be strange. but you know, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like there's seasons a lot of times, where you're feeling a little more needy. If you're struggling with anxiety or depression and things like that, make sure and communicate with your spouse about that. If you're feeling stressed or, you know, before you get to the doctor, you maybe have to have that conversation, you know, because it could be deeper than just being, oh, we're not spending enough time together. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, he's too busy or she's too busy, something like that. Or they have different friends and it's pulling us apart. I mean, be mindful of that kind of stuff because that stuff can be fixed right away. But it could be deeper. It could be medical issues, things like that. I mean, there's a lot of hormones in chicks. We're talking like you got making babies and then you're heading into menopause, which is where I'm heading now. So, and it's like, yeah, there's times where you're like a little more snappy, a little more needy. And just be mindful of that when you're together, that you're on the same page, you're agreeing with one another, you're like-minded, you're interested in each other's stuff. Go back to Philippians 2:2-4, read it on your own after this talk and just think through how that scripture can melt you guys together and how it's so important to keep you on the same page in those ways. Just for Gabe and I, it's always go back to scripture, and scripture always tells us how to treat each other. And so we know how we should be doing it. A lot of times we just forget. But anyway, so yeah, I mean, our spouses do drive us crazy. Let's just be serious. I mean, it is what it is, because we're human beings and we're selfish by nature and we like the way we do things, and it's in a hard made time, you know, hard to, I don't know, makes allowances, I guess, sometimes for each other. But I think we're called to do that as we have merged together and become one, and we are a couple that God has brought together, anointed us together. And so we got to make the best effort we can, even if we drive each other crazy, to honor each other and respect each other and love each other unconditionally, no matter what. And as we work through those things and become more like Christ, we become more loving to our spouse, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah. But anyways, so yeah. You have anything?
I think that's a good place to pause.
All right. Well, we hope you've enjoyed this month's Marriage Monthly.
Yeah.
We love doing it. If it's been helpful content for you, will you please like it, share, subscribe, all those good things, and we will see you next month.